What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Coach T. Before we get into it, let's get moving and grooving. Let's go.
Yeah, hello, man. Wait for it. I remember all night I used to pray for it. Me and they was on the grind like a skateboard. I look up to the sky any day, Lord. We need no, we was headed straight for it. Thought I got a message kind of random. This one for the people from the birds to the bando.
Talk to
them. Ain't no problem big enough that God couldn't handle. Came through, came loose. Fully loaded with the ammo. So don't worry about it. See a hater do the swear. Know you heard about it. We been putting in this work. When you talk this big and your wins this big, everybody about to know about it. About to know about
everybody
it.
About to know we was about that action, but we glad we let it go. He took me my highest when I kept my spirit low. They know we don't even care about who though. I listen to God, now we getting flued out. I'm so glad I waited, going super saiyan in this plan simulated. Look fear in the face, say the top is for the taking. If the dude don't fast, don't pray, we ain't dating. Yeah. Went from nothing in the
to know about it. Yeah, let me take it back so they get it. Talking 2013, if we get into specifics. Me and Portia, we was linking, trying to hit them with the spirit. It was one day on the beat, back then they was sleep. Now you know it's time to eat, yeah. It's no division in the building, got the same goal. We on some different, we flowing to say so. They catfishing, they get a man. We rid them with the hooks to show them a better plan, ay. Looking fine, and he say, yeah, I like that. Be online, see the hate, we don't type back. Nah, cause if he said it, then it's done. Call it holy girl, summer, cause we chilling with the sun.
So don't worry about it. See a hater do the swerve, know you heard about it. We been putting in this work. When you talk this big and your wins this big, everybody about to know about it.
So don't worry about it. See a hater do the swerve, know you heard about it. We been putting in this work. When you talk this big and your wins this big, everybody about to know about it.
Let's go. That is how you start a show, man. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about what the world got going on and start getting in tune with what God has going on in your life and what he's trying to do through you. Man, listen, it's your girl, Coach T. Welcome to another episode of See It Through Radio. I'm hyped as always, per usual. And y'all know we just got moving and grooving. But before we really get into it, let's get into our prayer of the week. Let's get it. Dear Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to me and to all your people. I'm so blessed to know that you won't stop being faithful to us. It's who you are. Thank you that you won't stop loving us. You won't stop showing mercy to us. You won't stop protecting us. You won't stop providing everything we need. You won't stop being our God and lifting us up into your arms. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We love that you are ours and we are yours. In Jesus' name, your babies. Amen. Can't get enough of what we do here on See It Through Radio. Well, follow us on IG at Just See It Through. Y'all know how we spell through. In the words of Travis Scott. It's right. All right, y'all. So last week we were sitting in Matthew chapter 1 and looking really close into verses 18 through 25. And this was talking about the birth of Jesus And we really focus in on one character in particular, and that is Joseph, Jesus's earthly father, whose obedience was, just everything. And we learned that last week's lick was that obedience to God will cost you something, but you must. It's a must to respond in faith. And y'all, that lesson dripped with obedience. Obedience was here. Obedience was there. Obedience was everywhere. And the verse that we focused so much on last week was when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. And he named Jesus. He took on the responsibility. And this week, we are going even further into the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, it's time to hit a lick. Let's get it. Hit a lick with me real quick. All right, my babies. It's that time of the year again. It's Christmas season. So, man, listen. Let me just put this in there. If y'all don't be watching on Instagram or YouTube the video, you might find it a treat to not just listen to the podcast, but actually watch the video. Because sometimes I crack myself up with the things I be doing with my face sometimes. But I hope y'all getting the kick out of this. But let's get right back into it. So when you think of the birth of Jesus, right, we think of the Christmas story, the one that has been told to us a million and one times, right? The sweet melody of Silent Night, the nativity scene, right? You got Jesus in the manger, Mary and Joseph just staring at him in awe. Then the three wise men surrounding him, and they got their gifts, and they bowing and worshiping the newborn king, and a few lambs and goats and horses around. Such a beautiful scene, right? As beautiful and peaceful as this may seem, Jesus' birth was less like this.
This is how we do it.
And more like this.
Many men wish death upon me.
Literally, Jesus was born into a situation where his life was at risk from jump. And we learn all about this crazy detailed story in Matthew, the second chapter. Now let's get into it. Now, couple key players in this lesson, the Magi, as known as the wise men. Now, they are super duper smart, like dumb smart astronomers, and they study the stars and whatnot. Okay, my husband says that, so if he listens to this, he is gonna be like, dang, she's been around me a long time. He always says whatnot. But anyway, King Herod is another key player in this situation. Now, this vicious hating scumbag, I don't know if I can call him a scumbag, but this vicious hating king during the time of Jesus' birth, he is a descendant of Esau. And if y'all don't know who Esau is, you can find Esau way, way, way back in the book of Genesis. He loses his birthright to his brother Jacob over a bowl of stew. Okay, the story gets a little gritty, but go back, read that. Yeah, you'll learn more about Esau. Then we have, who's this? Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. We learned more about him in the previous episode. Talks about his story and his obedience to God. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But anyway, and then the last people we learn about in this chapter is the scholars, the religious leaders in the town. Okay, now, so we are in Matthew chapter 2. This is verses 1 through 23. And for sake of time, I'm going to be paraphrasing this whole entire story. It's important that you don't take my word for it, but you take God's word for it. Get into this message this week and let God sit with you in this message so you can grow in a better relationship with him. So this is how it all went down. After Jesus was born, after, not before or during while Mary was pushing. This is after Jesus was born. So this is sometime after. We don't know how long this was after. After Jesus was born, Magi, kings from the east, we know them as the wise men, came to Jerusalem searching for the king of the Jews, who is Jesus, right? So we have often heard that the wise men, it was three of them, a team of three. Three wise men came and they bowed before the newborn king. We don't know how many there really was. The Bible never specified how many wise men there were. It just said wise men, meaning there were several of them. It had to be more than one. Okay, so it could have been 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We don't really know how many of them was, but all we know that they came from the east searching for the king of the Jews. Sorry, Christmas story. We have kind of got that wrong for years, but whatever. That's neither here or there. So they seen Jesus' star rising and came to worship him. And this had Herod, King Vicious Herod, and all of Jerusalem shook. I mean, shook. I don't know if Jerusalem was shook over the birth of Jesus or over the fact that Herod was, they knew their king was about to get pissed. Now, King Herod was always on guard. He had a history of being on guard against those that he's seen as a threat to his kingdom. Even his family members. I mean, he oft assassinated, straight mangled some of his own family members who showed signs of disloyalty. Talking about insecure. But in the birth of Jesus, a kingdom of its own, it showed as a threat to Herod's little baby kingdom, which could cause Jerusalem to suffer greatly just because of this threat that Herod was feeling. So far, we see how great Jesus is. Even as a baby, as an infant, kings and grown men are already responding to his reign. And he hadn't even reached the pinnacle of his career yet, his ministry yet. He hadn't even reached the throne yet. He hadn't even ascended into heaven yet. And people are already going crazy, worshiping and worrying over the fact that this baby boy is now coming into the earth. Whew, I'm telling you, this story was heated. So Herod gathers all these chief priests and scribes together, like teachers, quote unquote, of the law. He brings them together and learns that according to the prophecy that was penned in Micah 5, verse 2, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. So Herod sends the wise men in that direction, right? He feel like he got all the information he needed to know. He said, you know, y'all go out. You find them, y'all worship, y'all do y'all thing, then come back and holler at me and then let me know so I can also go pay homage to this little baby boy too. You know, I mean, the newborn king too, right? This fool was straight up lying, y'all. Straight up lying. He had zero intention to worship Jesus. This was the only attempt. This is one of the many attempts he had to find exactly where Jesus was, pull up on Jesus, and try to off him. That's it. He only wanted to do one thing and one thing only, and was to end the reign of Jesus so that his kingdom, Herod's little kingdom, could continue to prosper as he thought it was. So without making any promises to King Herod, the wise men went off about their business and followed the star. The star guided and leaded them, and it stopped right over the exact place where Jesus was. Didn't say a manger, it said a house that they arrived to. And they were overwhelmed with joy when they seen the newborn king laying there. So they opened up their Louis duffel bags. I just had to modernize that. My bad, y'all. They opened up their bags and they presented him with gifts. And it was three different type of gifts that they presented Jesus with. The first one was gold. Gold represented royalty. I mean, this is the king of the Jews we're talking about here. He is truly the king of all, though. So it was only right that they presented him as such. He was royalty. And so number two was frankincense. And these things symbolized worship. They were there to fall and worship him as king. They truly recognized his divinity. They truly recognized him for who he was. And that was king of the Jews. Now, the last gift that they brought to him That's a little tricky. I really didn't understand it myself personally, but it was called myrrh. And myrrh back then, which I thought it seemed a little weird to bring a baby for a special time as this, but it was known for being a burial spice. They usually used it when people died as a burial spice. But after reading multiple commentaries, we have to remember that this was a baby that came into the world to save all of humanity. And the only way that he was going to do this was die for our very lives. So it made sense. And we can almost be certain that the wise men did this, brought some of these gifts on accident. But I think we need to look at the deeper meaning here. They were simply trying to honor. They wanted nothing but to honor Jesus as who he was, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the one who was coming to save all humanity. They might not have known that in depth, but that's what they had. That's what their intentions were. They wanted to simply honor him. When it was time for the Magi to head back east and go back to the crib, God came to them in a dream and told them, don't go back to Herod because he on some straight bull. And they did exactly what God asked them to do. They didn't go back. They took another route home. Now, sometime after, I don't know if it was immediately after or we don't know when. The Bible doesn't specify it. But right after that, an angel appears to Joseph telling him to get out of Dodge, get out of town, because what's about to happen next? Take your whole entire family with you because Herod is planning something that could be detrimental to this newborn baby. Listen, y'all, at this point, Herod is pissed. He mad at the Magi because they straight up played him. He told them to come back, put him on game, and they did not come back. So he putting a mandate out. He sent all his soldiers into the land to kill baby boys ages 2 years old and under. This was in accordance to the tea that he learned from the wise men and the priests about pretty much the information that he got in the beginning of the little meeting that they had. This is all the information that he learned. So he said, like, okay, approximately Jesus is about 2 years old. So we just gonna kill all the baby boys that's 2 years old. So God pre-warned Joseph and Mary to get out of town before all this starts to happen. And in this moment, the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 5 was fulfilled. So after Herod dies, an angel of the Lord comes back to Joseph telling him to go back to the land of Israel because the ones that were trying to off Jesus in the beginning are now dead. But God also warned them in another dream that told Joseph and Mary, pretty much word got out, Herod's son is now the ruler. He's the head dude in charge in the land of Judea. So they decided to make their new home in the northern Israel, in the land of Galilee, in a town called Nazareth. And that's how the prophecy was fulfilled, that Jesus would be called the Nazarene. In this lesson, God's sovereignty drips like everywhere, just dripping everywhere. God is always in control, even when things look out of control. Whatever God plans will indeed happen. Big facts, no cap, like it's going to happen. Nothing, no Beyonce concert, no cancel culture, no sold out show, no sold out basketball game, football game, no pandemic, no King Herod, no religious leaders, not even Satan can stop God's plan. God planned the time for Jesus, his son, to come into the earth. He planned when he was going to die. He planned when he was going to ascend into the heavens. And he also has a plan for when he's going to return. God will accomplish all he has planned because he is the only one that has the power to do it. Lastly, Jesus came to bring peace and fulfill the word of God. Now, he brings about a new type of exodus, freeing God's people from the bondage of sin. I found this extremely interesting, right? How people decided to respond to the news of the newborn king. Like, let's take Herod, for example. Straight up hater. Baby boy straight stayed true to his hostility towards Jesus. Then you had the religious leaders, right? The chief priests, the scribes of the time, which were pretty much indifferent. They knew scripture, they knew the word, but they wanted to make sure they stayed grounded and rooted in their religious respectability, pretty much. And the crazy part about it is they missed the great opportunity. They missed the Savior. They missed salvation. It's funny that a lot of people in the world today, they know of Jesus. They know Bible scripture, but they fail every single time to have a relationship with him. It means nothing if you don't have a relationship with him. Just putting that right there. Insert, quick little insert. So, and then you have the Magi, these foreign kings from the east. These folks ain't even God's people. They're not even a part of the children of Israel. They're not even God's chosen people. And they chose to respond with open seeking hearts. They sought after Jesus to honor and pay homage to him. They had every intention to exalt him. In this lesson, we see three different responses to Jesus. Hate, confusion, and love. And whether you believe it or not, we're all made in the image of God. And although sin has come into the world and tainted our desire for God, our highest purpose and ultimate fulfillment is found in a relationship with the Creator, God, the one who created it all, the one who created the universe. Which leads us into our lick this week. It's plain and simple. God is faithful to those who seek him. That's it. God is faithful to those who seek him. God is consistently showing himself and drawing people closer and closer to him every single day. Some people pursue God while others choose, keyword there, choose to turn in a different direction. But in the end, when everything is all said and done, when the whistle is blown, when the horn goes off, when the game is over, we all will be held accountable for the responses we choose to make, or the responses we chose to make. Let me say that. How will you respond to God? Are you sitting on God's valuable information and not applying it? When you think of Jesus, do you think of a king or something different? Do you trust God's word? Is your love for God forced or authentic? Sit with these questions this week and pay close attention to how you respond and ask God to sit with you. Now that's how you hit a lick. We'll be right back on See It Through Radio. It's your girl, Coach T. I holla.
You're rocking with the best.
You're rocking with Coach T on See It Through Radio.
Radio.
After having such a dope message like the one that we had today, I thought it would be fitting that we would run it back with a previous thing we did on Beat Still and focusing on the Word of God. There's some scriptures that I really want us to get down in our spirits as we move forward, not only in this series, but as we move forward on a day-to-day basis in our life. So, without further ado, let's get into Beat Still. Let's go! What's up, players? Welcome to Beat Still. It's fun, it's focused, it's God's word. Wherever you're at right now listening to this, let God sit with you in this moment. Let's go! John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Luke 1:37. For the word of God would never fail. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 32. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
I know you're gonna dig this.
I'm sorry, I'm hype, man. That buildup was insane. Yee! Listen, focus on God. He will never let you down. Real talk. Let's jump back into it. Let go. Psalms chapter 54, verse 4. But God is my helper. The Lord keeps me alive. Matthew chapter 22, verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So He is the God of the living, not the dead. Psalms chapter 68, verse 20. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. Job chapter 9, verse 4. For God is so wise and so mighty. Who has ever challenged Him successfully? Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Job chapter 36, verse 26. Look, God is greater than we can understand. His years can't be counted. Psalms chapter 86, verse 8. No pagan God is like you, O Lord. None can do what you do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God.
You're rocking with the best.
You're rocking with Coach T on See It Through Radio.
Radio.
I hope this is getting you right in your mind. Let God sit with you today. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Hey! First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Psalms 91, verse 2. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Facts. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Oh no, it's not over. We just getting started. It's your girl, Coach T. This is See It Through Radio. I'm having fun with this. I hope y'all enjoying it. Let's go. Jesus is the living water. Just one drink of that living water, you would never thirst again. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And I don't know what you're going through in this season of your life. I know we've come off a crazy 2020, and 2021 is even crazier. We got things going on in social media, things going on in Hollywood. That's just not God. And I just want to tell you today, it doesn't have to be stiff. That's religion. Religion will tell you one thing, but God is awesome. He's absolutely amazing. If you give him a shot, you give him a chance, he will change your life forever. He can take someone like myself that was dealing with all kinds of wickedness, that was dealing with all kind of crap and in lifestyles that I shouldn't have been in, sleeping with everybody, smoking anything and drinking everything. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. But let's get back into it. Let's go. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. We can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Second Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Job chapter 22, verse 12. God is so great. Higher than the heavens, higher than the furthest stars. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.
I know you're gonna dig this.
John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. As a result, people who want to serve God can know how to live properly. They will be people who can do all kinds of good things. Our relationship with God became so broken because of sin. So God had a forever plan, and that plan was Jesus, his only son, a perfect human, a spotless lamb, the final and ultimate sacrifice. Jesus died to take the penalty our sins deserve. Jesus died and became all of our sins and took our punishment so that we wouldn't have to. Now we're able to have a good relationship with God, the one who created us. Jesus is the bridge, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But anyway, what James got to say? James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Titus chapter 3, verse 6. He generously poured out his spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. First Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. I don't know what you've done or where you're at right now or who you slept with last night or what you smoked on a few minutes ago. Listen, God loves you. He cares for you. And it doesn't matter what you have done. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Although we came to the end of this segment, this isn't the end. God is about to do some amazing things through your life, and it starts with you today just sitting with him, allowing him to speak to you in a very dope way. So let's finish this thing out. Let's go. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Because of his grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free for sure. For sure, for sure. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." This next one is a repeat, but it's important that you really know it. I mean, it's important that you know all these scriptures, but this one is something that we can apply starting today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Listen, all things were created by God. He literally made something from nothing. He has made us and given us everything that we need, including our gifts. Because of this, we are so valuable and unique. Apart from God, we are nothing. You can never try to live without Him. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you let God sit with you this week and sit with you in these messages, in these scriptures. And listen, and always remember, just see it through. I holla.